I'm Julianne DeLynn Hatton, and you're listening to Faith and Reason on the Mormon Faircast. This series will discuss the prophet Joseph Smith and the authenticity of the gospel he restored. I'll be speaking with Michael R. Ash, author of the book of Faith and Reason, 80 Evidences Supporting the Prophet Joseph Smith. Hello, Michael Ash.
Hi, Julianne.
We're talking about your book of Faith and Reason, Nephi's Bow. Now, let's get the background story about Nephi's bow and what happened. Do you want to paraphrase it?
Yeah, basically, Nephi was out hunting for food, and he said he was using his fine steel bow, and it broke. And it was, you know, disastrous, because that was their weapon, one of their best weapons they had to get food, and he no longer had it, and so it presented a problem.
Now, was Nephi's bow actually made of steel?
No, there wouldn't have been fully steel bows in this time. And it's interesting, because when we picture a bow, we think of usually kind of a convex, or almost something that's shaped like a C, you know, an elongated C, I guess, almost that we see, you know, for... In fact, Joseph Smith, if he was thinking of bows, you know, he might have tried to think of something like the Native Americans would have used in not too far from where he lived. But in ancient times, they had what was called a double convex bow. And we still see some of these among certain archers today, but it's almost like two C's sort of connected with a curve going in the opposite direction. It's kind of snake-like, and that's why they call it double convex. And these bows were strapped with different types of materials to strengthen them and give them more spring. And they used bone in some places. They used anything to strengthen. And some of them used steel. And so it was kind of a composite bow. It would have been made out of wood and then these steel strappings to give it more strength. And that's why Nephi would have referred to it as a steel bow. And it would have been, like I said, a very powerful bow and something that they really would have relied on for getting their food.
Absolutely. Now, how then do you think his bow broke?
Well, yeah, that's, you know, what's interesting is that if it was so strong, how could this have broke? Well, scholars have pointed out that in part of the trail, there would have been an area called Jeddah, and this would have been maybe midway down the eastern shore by the Red Sea. And it was a very humid and salty area. It's coming in from the sea, and you had sand and humidity and salt, and modern cars, they rust very quickly, just within a few months in this area. So here, Nephi, traveling with his steel bow that would have worked just fine in his hunting near Jerusalem, all of a sudden would have had some problems near the Red Sea, and it probably rusted and deteriorated the steel that was strengthening the bow. So when he pulled back to shoot his arrows with the normal force that he would have used with his strong bow, it would have snapped the steel and the wood eventually as well, and he wouldn't have been able to use it anymore for hunting at all.
Now, isn't it interesting that now Nephi's bow is made of wood?
Yeah. So he had to make a new bow because they still needed some food. They had to hunt. And right in the same area, there are pomegranate trees that were excellent for bow making. So his old bow broke because of the surrounding environment, but also because of the environment that he was in. He was able to find the right kind of wood to make a new bow.
And not only that, he also needed new arrows.
Yeah, and that's one of the really fascinating things that's mentioned in the Book of Mormon. We know his bow broke, and if Joseph Smith was the author, he could have just said, well, he made a new bow.
Mm-hmm.
But it says he made new bow and arrows. Well, why would he need to make new arrows? Well, his longbow, the one that broke, would have required longer arrows because of the power, and they wouldn't have matched up with his new bow. And so he had to make arrows that match the bow so he could shoot those with greater accuracy. And it's a little tiny tidbit in there that again suggests that whoever wrote this actually lived through it, which Joseph Smith, of course, didn't. And it's just another evidence, in my opinion, that the Book of Mormon is based on an authentic ancient document.
Thank you, Michael Ash.
Thank you, Julianne.
Thanks for listening to Faith and Reason on the Mormon Faircast. I'm your host, Julianne DeLynn Hatton, inviting you to keep the faith.
Michael R. Ash is the author of the book Shaken Faith Syndrome, Strengthening One's Testimony in the Face of Criticism and Doubt, as well as the book of Faith and Reason, 80 Evidences Supporting the Prophet Joseph Smith. Faith and Reason is produced by Tom Hatton with music courtesy of Arthur Hatton. The opinions expressed in this podcast are not necessarily the views of Fair Mormon or The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. You can support this podcast by subscribing to it in iTunes and by rating it and writing a review. Questions or comments can be sent to podcast@fairmormon.org, or you may join the conversation at fairblog.org.